Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Normally you think Monday Night Football, right? Let's go. Going to be badass. Going to be on the stage pretty much by yourself for at least the majority of the game. You think, can't wait. My confession is I kind of want to play. I want to see him play Sunday.
100%.
I want to see him play Sunday. I want to get this thing going. There are so many. You know, I alluded to it. Is that bad? Like, you don't want your team showcased. You just want to get it on. As Andy was saying the other day, I want to play at noon on Sunday. You know, I just – part of it is the mystery behind what they're doing offensively that we've talked about a lot. I just feel like it's so crucial. It's not make or break. It's not must win or anything like that. But it's – I think it's going to – this game is going to set the tone for a while. I'll put it that way.
No, 100%. Yeah. I think that's exactly why. And I'll put it like this. When you as a family are working through your issues – you don't want that in front of the public. Now, do you?
Well, it's not just I want to see it.
Bury me on an like, I know where you're coming from. Yeah. I'm personally in a bury me on a middle afternoon game while I'm working on my stuff. So that, I want to be showcased when it's all good. Like when it's like everything is running and I know what I can put my best foot forward. I'm not certain the best foot forward is coming out on
Monday.
That
term I've been using for years, stay low and build.
Yeah.
Stay low and build. Like everybody kept remember a couple years ago, everybody kept saying, we need some primetime games. Like
maybe eventually.
Hey, I'm fine with playing Sunday at noon every single week if we're good. And then next year we can follow that road.
You guys are both right, but mine is more based on like,
antsy.
You're just antsy. You want to get there.
I want to see it, and I want to see it now. You know, you know the old whatever it Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
It kind of made the week go by.
I want my Oompa Loompa. I want it now. Yeah, I want to see what this does. It looks like.
Yeah, I think.
Can you just go ahead and mark that? I want that. I might need that.
But yeah, no, it did seem because it seemed like this. Well, last Sunday the game started at 3:25 or whatever, and now it's like you got to wait all the way to Monday Night Football.
Yes.
At least it started at 6 and not like 7.
Yeah.
But I see what you mean though. Mm-hmm.
If they had just scored one touchdown.
Oh, we'd be, let's go.
Like I'd have been like, all right, Monday night, that's cool. No touchdowns.
You kind of forget about that, too. They haven't scored a touchdown.
Not yet. Not in the Kaylee era. No, they have not. The Texans have not scored a touchdown in the Nick Kaylee era. That sounds like forever. It's like 1 week.
Yeah.
But still, they have not scored a touchdown in the Nick Kaylee era. And
what was the last time they scored a touchdown?
How many days you want to do it like that?
It's been or what was the last time they scored a touchdown?
Well, Chargers. No, Chiefs.
Yeah. But how many days is that? How many months is that?
How many quarters?
Day 100.
How many quarters? That really is the worst. It's been 300 and it's like, damn.
Yeah.
It's been eight quarters since they scored a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Go get on that. I need you to get on that, Figgy Fig. I think actually, mine is football related and it's pretty evident, but I feel it very strongly. And it's been since 2004, I believe, is the year where the oldest player to lead the NFL in rushing was Curtis Martin. I think Derrick Henry is going to break that this year.
Oh, he is older, right?
Curtis Martin was 31 in that season.
Mm-hmm.
I think Derrick Henry breaks that record this year. And, of course, it's easy to say that after week one. Yeah. However, like, it just seems like he's impossible to slow down. Mm-hmm. They're going to continue utilizing him. And I would have never guessed when he joined the Ravens, what was that, 3 seasons ago now?
Oh, yeah.
That we would be in this place where he's 31 and I go,
this is second season.
2 seasons. Sorry, mm-hmm. appreciate you. Where when he joins, I go, all right. What will happen on the other side of this is he will very much be not just have the possibility, but it won't be surprising to say that he's going to lead the league in rushing and probably become the oldest guy to ever do that.
Remember when we were talking about, well, the Texans are interested in Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley. Nah, they're old.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah. We heard all the running back stories and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then, hell, I think not to put you on the spot, Lopez, but You was kind of like, this is about that time, Derrick Henry, you know, you was kind of using the running back.
Oh, yeah,
too.
The history of the running back.
You know, he should. I don't think you say he's going to fall off, but start slowing down.
When it starts, yeah, when it starts.
Kind of start slowing down, mm-hmm. and to be fair, he was in Tennessee, mm-hmm. so maybe that has something to do with it. But when he went back to Baltimore,
yep.
it's like, damn, why did Tennessee give that up?
Which is funny, because if you see him up close and personal, you should know he is an alien.
Yeah.
He's not a real human being.
Yeah, you can't look at him as other running backs.
Yes.
That's kind of like the Adrian Peterson
mm-hmm.
of them all.
It's a different animal.
Oh, from the 281, Mixon was the last to score a touchdown for the Texans.
Oh, good research.
Ooh, man.
Thank you.
Goodness gracious,
from
man.
The research department.
Mm. Will he score a touchdown this season? 713-572-4600.
Oh, because didn't they ask, was it D'Amico? They asked him about Joe Mixon, and he was like, we hope that he's doing well.
We'll let you know when we let you know.
Not even we'll let you know. We hope that he's doing well was words that we're using. Yeah. I was like,
that's what I say.
Hope,
when
huh?
That's when I say when somebody asked me about an auntie I ain't talked to in a couple years. Oh, she doing well. Yeah. she good. Everything good with her. She doing pretty good.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I actually have a football related one.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Football.
I know.
Friday.
Look at us talking sports.
Sticking to sports. Sticking to sports.
Yeah.
I got to confess. So I was watching Thursday Night Football last night and just we was kind of raving about Jordan Love a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I got to confess, I'm a little jealous the way Green Bay has just been lucking into franchise quarterbacks like
year
this,
after
man.
Year, man.
And I'm wondering, like, I'm kind of wondering maybe it's just a different time or whatever, but why don't other teams kind of handle this quarterback situation like they do?
Put them on the bench and let them, yeah.
Yeah, because it seemed like they did it the last two times. Mm-hmm. They did it with, they had Brett Favre. I ain't going all the way back in the day, but Brett Favre, they drafted Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sat for a couple years. And then they brought him in. And then same thing with Jordan Love. He sat for, well, felt like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Why teams don't really take this type of approach? I know time is very limited.
Well, the interesting thing, part of it is the collective bargaining agreement. I think that's a big part of it these days. But it used to be that's how you handled every rookie quarterback.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a rarity to start a rookie quarterback
with them,
halfway into a year.
And with them, and you know, I'm being funny, calling them lucky,
mm-hmm.
but it seemed like that works.
It absolutely works. But the biggest thing to me, I don't know about you, Reggie, but is once you get into the rookie contract stuff, then the clock starts so much sooner than the old days.
Because
you got to pay them after 4 or 5 years.
But see, I'm not even talking about getting the quarterback in the top 10 or anything like mm-hmm. that. Of course, you're going to want them to play as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But they took a quarterback when they necessarily didn't need a quarterback. They took one in the late
sure.
first round.
Like, yeah, but that's still a first rounder. So I think there's multiple parts of it. And I think that's one of them is, first and foremost, you're going to use a highly valued draft pick on a player that you don't intend on having on your field. A first-round pick you intend on not only playing but being a big factor or maybe mm-hmm. even a starter when you select them. That would be taking a first-round pick or maybe a second-round pick and saying, not only do we not intend on them being a starter, we don't intend on seeing them.
Yeah.
And that's something that's hard to sell in this NFL where you're always trying to push and add to what you're doing, especially salary cap where you need that cost-controlled player. I think also you started hitting on a good one, Lopez, when you talk about a quarterback
mm-hmm.
and the time to pay them. You need to figure out if this quarterback that you get is a guy that is worth paying. And so you need as many years as you possibly can
get. And
you
had him back in the day.
Right? You need as many years as you possibly can get to figure out, mm-hmm. especially as the cost per the quarterback goes up, to decide, are we going to pick up that fifth-year option?
Yeah,
are we going to pay them? And if you do the thing with Jordan Love, if you remember, it was, I believe, 3 seasons. And then it's like, here, now you're out here, and we have a year, maybe two, to figure out if you are worth the money.
Yeah. But they played it perfectly, though.
They did.
Like, there's no conversation. Yeah. I think we was kind of – people was probably, I think, questioning the pick, Jordan Love.
Oh, we didn't know
beginning.
If he was any good.
Yeah, and that on was top, a discussion. And on top of it, you still got Aaron Rodgers. That's still good. Yeah.
And that's the third thing is.
So they, I felt like they just played it. They played the long game a little bit. They wasn't really trying to get him in right now. They played it just in time, and now it's not even a conversation.
Well, it's easy to say that on the back end, though, because in real time, you're also dealing with an Aaron Rodgers who's at the top of his game or near the top of his game. You're using a first-round pick to get a quarterback instead of a dude who needs wide receivers, not getting him talent. And the big thing is you piss off your starting quarterback.
Yeah, you do.
But they did it three different times, man. It wasn't like it was just Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck.
Two times between quarterbacks, but still, the point remains.
It wasn't just an Andrew, it just lucked up on Andrew Luck type of deal. It seemed like this is kind of consistently. And I'm just wondering why other teams don't really go with that.
Ultimately,
approach.
It always comes back down to that. And by the way, all I'm hearing is Figgy wants the Texans to use a first round pick on a quarterback this year.
I mean, Graham Mertz is right there. Magic says, wouldn't that reduce the amount of money that you'll pay because they won't show that much? No, that's not how the market works. If you're going to pay a quarterback, it's next man up. It's just like, hey, what is the market set at? And even then, like, if you're planning on having them a starter, you're paying starter money. It's not, well, we don't know yet, so we can't pay you that much. No. That agent will be like, if you want to sign my quarterback, you will have to pay. And so it will just be you not being all that convinced as opposed to you saving some money.
But see, the thing is, whenever a team got a franchise quarterback already, you don't think about drafting the quarterback unless it's like a Graham Mertz or something like that. But if you're kind of getting towards that back end and you're a team like Green Bay that's kind of looking three steps ahead.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, dang, maybe that is the best way to do it. So that way you won't be in the quarterback hell type of situation ever.
Well, there's other quarterbacks that have drafted teams that have drafted quarterbacks, maybe not first round specifically.
Yeah.
And when that doesn't hit, you look foolish. That gets you fired very quickly. Mm-hmm. I think the middle ground that some teams try and take is like a fourth or fifth round quarterback and see if maybe you find gold.
Yeah.
And if you don't, it doesn't hurt as much. You haven't used your top tier draft capital in outside of places where they can help you on the other parts of the team. And you can maybe see if you find a little something like a Dak Prescott or something.
But you're
fourth round pick?
Yeah, that's true. I was going to bring up even New England. Like, they had Tom Brady and they also brought in Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. Now, I know he's not the same type of person.
Yeah, but they were kicking the tires.
Yeah, it seemed like they were preparing just in case. And then it didn't work out and they flipped them for a pick.
Yeah.
So, I think that's very interesting. That's a great point. There you go. A little bit of a lunchtime confessions. Real sportsy on a Football Friday here in the Loop. Coming up next.
How dare us.
Football Friday also means that we're gearing up for the weekend that will be in college football. So you know what that means. John Lopez's college football headline of the weekend. What will it be? Well, you got to stay tuned to hear that next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.